So, welcome in to you, our resident learner. Let's just set a scene here. Imagine an autonomous forklift, right? It's carrying, say, 2 tons of solid steel across this really busy factory floor.
Right, highly dangerous environment.
Exactly. And suddenly, a worker just steps right into its path. The forklift sensors, they see the person perfectly. But to actually know what to do next, it has to send a signal to a cloud server somewhere in, like, Virginia.
Right, it's literally asking the cloud, "Hey, should I break?"
Yeah, exactly. And in the 120 milliseconds or whatever it takes for that signal to travel across the entire country, process in some server farm, and then bounce all the way back to the factory, it's too late. Like the forklift has already moved another 3 feet.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That 120 milliseconds, that is basically the unseen cost of our entire modern internet. I mean, we've spent the last decade, what, just putting everything we do into the cloud.
Oh, totally. We treat it like this magical infinite brain in the sky.
We really do. But when it actually comes to the physical world, moving parts, heavy machinery, the cloud is actually a tether, and it's a terrifyingly fragile tether.
Which brings us to today's deep dive. We've just received this massive, and I mean massive, confidential stack of what are called single source of truth product documents. They're SSOTs from a tech infrastructure company called DiReticular.
Yeah, DiReticular. And the craziest part about these
About
files.
the date stamped on every single one of these files is exactly today, March 13, 2026.
Right. And these documents, they essentially map out this heavily funded, completely radical counter movement in the tech industry. They're calling it island mode or sovereign automation.
Sovereign automation. Okay, let's unpack this because reading through this stack, my pure enthusiastic curiosity just went into absolute overdrive.
I mean, it's wild stuff.
It really is. Because DiReticular, they aren't just selling some new, SaaS tool. They're selling a completely different vision. Ultra-advanced AI, robotics, critical city infrastructure, all operating completely off the macro internet, like zero latency, absolute privacy.
Which is the holy grail, really.
Yeah, and they're selling this at literally every scale you can imagine, starting with like a $449 AI assistant for a local mechanic, all the way up to a $500,000 sovereign fortress package for, billionaires.
And we really need to look at why the shift is happening right now, today, because it essentially comes down to two absolute limits, right? Physics and liability.
Physics liability, right?
Yeah, so the physics problem is that latency we just talked about. Milliseconds matter when heavy machinery is moving around.
You can't wait for Virginia to tell you to stop.
Exactly. And then the liability problem, well, that happens when you handle sensitive data. Sending your clients private, confidential information to external servers owned by big tech companies, that is rapidly becoming a legal nightmare.
So let's start right there on the ground floor. Because the documents spend a lot of time on something they call the privacy paradox.
Oh, yeah. This is a huge issue for small businesses.
It really is. So think about your local CPA learner, or your private medical clinic, or even just that auto mechanic down the street. They desperately need the efficiency of modern AI just to stay competitive, right?
Right, but they legally and ethically really cannot upload confidential client data to some public cloud AI, not without violating things like HIPAA or, attorney-client
Because
privilege.
they're completely tracked.
Basically, yeah, trapped between falling behind technologically or just straight up breaking the law. I mean, you can't just feed a sensitive legal custody contract into a public chatbot and ask it for a summary.
Right. So DiReticular's answer to this is that $449 package, the Main Street Commerce Bundle.
A Main Street bundle, yeah.
And it's a ruggedized piece of physical hardware. They call it a Nomad Mesh Point Router. And it runs an AI called the Sovereign Executive. And the key here, the entire point, is that it all runs locally.
Everything stays in the building.
Exactly. The SOT gives this incredibly practical example. So a mechanic scans 30 physical supplier invoices. Instead of a human sitting there manually typing them all in, the local AI uses OCR optical character recognition.
And just to put that simply for a second, OCR is it's the process of teaching the computer to actually read the letters in a picture.
Instead of just seeing it as a shape or an image.
Right. It actually extracts the text natively.
Yeah, so it reads the vendor name, it pulls the total cost, it even renames the PDF file so they actually make sense, and then it files them all into a local PostgreSQL database.
Which is super secure.
Right, and I actually had to look that up. PostgreSQL is essentially just a highly secure, incredibly organized digital filing cabinet, and it lives right there on the mechanic's computer, not in the cloud.
Right. And because it's processing natively on their own local network, zero data ever touches the outside internet. The AI does all the heavy lifting right there in the room.
It's amazing.
And the bundle also features local whisper AI for voice to text. So picture a lawyer, right? They're walking down the hall. They leave a voice note on a secure local signal channel saying, you know, meeting with Smith, done, prep the custody contract.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the AI transcribes it, actually understands the intent, and logs the task automatically, all offline.
But wait, I have to ask, isn't the whole reason we use cloud AI because it requires massive server farms and like giant industrial cooling towers? How on earth is a little router box in a basement processing complex waste to text without just melting into a puddle of slag?
Well, that is the magic of edge computing. The models have just become vastly more efficient over the last few years.
So they're smaller.
Yeah. Whisper AI, for example, is a highly compressed model. It doesn't need to know the capital of France or, you know, how to write a sonnet about a cat. It just needs to be incredibly good at turning audio into text. Oh, I see.
Right. So by stripping out all that bloated world knowledge, you can run a genius-level transcription assistant on a chip the size of a postage stamp.
That is wild. It's almost like it's like firing your really expensive monthly SaaS subscriptions, and instead you're hiring a hyper-competent digital employee who is literally locked in your basement and forbidden from ever talking to the outside world.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is how this replaces familiar cloud tools entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But without sacrificing any of the convenience.
Like what?
Take scheduling, for example.
Yeah.
Most professionals use those cloud-based links to book meetings, right?
Oh, yeah, like Calendly or whatever.
Right, which requires giving an external company total access to your daily life. But this sovereign AI, it negotiates meeting times via SMS or email with your client, and then it modifies a local CallDAV file.
CallDAV.
Yeah, CallDAV is just an open calendar language that doesn't need a middleman server at all. Mm-hmm. So it completely removes big tech's visibility into a doctor's or a lawyer's schedule. Wow. And if we scale that concept up just a little bit, like to a whole town's digital infrastructure, the documents outline this nearly $5,000 package called the Digital Nervous System.
Which is essentially an automated IT guy for a small town.
Yeah, a tireless 24/7 IT department. And it runs a Llama 3.8b AI model, which again is a compressed, highly efficient AI brain that's small enough to live on a local hard drive.
Right.
But it's smart enough to ingest millions of lines of system logs from all the local businesses on this municipal network.
And what it's doing with those logs is actively hunting for anomalies. So if it sees, say, a ransomware probe trying to hit that local clinic's database, the AI instantly null routes the attacker's IP.
Null routing.
Yeah, null routing is basically slamming the digital door shut on that specific internet address, just dropping all communication instantly.
But wait, how does an offline AI actually differentiate between, like, a harmless network glitch and a coordinated ransomware attack, especially if it isn't querying some global cybersecurity threat database in the cloud?
By analyzing local behavioral patterns. It's actually really clever. So normal clinic software reads files sequentially one by one.
Okay.
But ransomware behaves erratically. It opens thousands of files per second and starts aggressively encrypting them. The local Llama model doesn't need a cloud database to know that that behavior is hostile.
Oh, it just sees the speed and the pattern and knows it's an attack.
Exactly. It recognizes the pattern locally and shuts it down before the third file is even encrypted. I mean, it provides enterprise-grade security operations center defense to municipalities that usually, you know, couldn't even afford to hire a human for the night shift.
Man, that is... It's one thing to protect a doctor's schedule or a local server farm digitally, but where these documents really made my jaw drop is when this technology crosses over into the physical world.
Oh, yeah, the physical security packages.
Because securing the digital data doesn't actually mean much if the threat isn't a hacker in Russia, but like a guy with a crowbar standing outside your server room door. So let's look at the municipal citadel package. This one's $2,500. And then there's the sovereign fortress package for over $500,000. We've all seen those cloud-connected security cameras on modern buildings, right?
Yeah, the standard smart cameras. And the problem with those is their fatal flaw. They rely entirely on the cloud.
Yeah.
If the local internet drops or a bad storm knocks out a fiber cable down the street or the cloud provider itself is hacked, your physical security just vanishes. The cameras basically become useless glass eyes.
Which is terrifying.
It is. For a police evidence room or a town hall archive or a high net worth Freeport, just hoping the internet stays on is completely unacceptable.
So the Citadel package, it completely ditches traditional cameras. Instead, it uses 3D point pillars, LiDAR, and multispectral cameras. And the SSOT paints this crazy scenario learner. Just imagine a highly organized thief decides to bypass the door alarms entirely, and they cut through the ceiling into a credit union vault in dead of night.
Right. Now, standard cameras rely on visible light. A thief could blind them with a simple laser pointer, a smoke grenade, or honestly just the darkness itself if they cut the lights.
Right.
But LiDAR works fundamentally differently. It shoots out thousands of invisible laser pulses every single second to map the room volumetrically in 3D.
Volumetrically, so it maps the actual space.
Exactly. The instant that thief breaches the ceiling, the LiDAR detects a physical mass displacement of just 2 millimeters.
2 millimeters.
Yeah, it doesn't care about light or smoke. It literally feels the shape of the room change.
That is insane. And it doesn't just, like, record a video for the police to watch the next morning while they drink their coffee. The local AI, they call it the industrial foreman, it actually takes action.
Instant action.
Yeah. In under 50 milliseconds, it drops 12-volt magnetic locks and physically seals the vault doors.
And that speed is the entire point of island mode. 50 milliseconds is literally faster than human perception. It actively stops the breach while the ceiling dust is literally still falling, and it's entirely processed on a local edge server. There's no cloud API call required to ask some server in Seattle for permission to lock the doors.
Okay, I have to push back here, though, because this sounds like an impenetrable digital fortress. Until the bad guys just walk up to the outside of the building and sever the main power line, doesn't this whole incredible system just instantly turn off?
That is the logical next question for sure, and the source data actually addresses it directly. These sovereign sentry nodes run natively on low voltage direct current or DC power.
Okay.
So they don't need the massive alternating current grid, the AC grid, to function. They are wired directly to local battery backups, meaning they stay fully armed and operational for days, even if the grid goes down.
Okay, fine. But what if the thief realizes that, right?
Yeah.
They break in, they find the server box on the wall, they just rip it off and steal the whole physical chassis so they can extract the data later.
Well, the hardware actually defends itself. If a thief grabs the server chassis, internal gyroscopes detect the unauthorized physical movement.
Okay.
No. The node instantly wipes its own RAM and permanently encrypts its internal NVMe drives.
Wait, NVM?
Yeah, NVMe is just the ultra-fast hard drive where the actual data lives. By scrambling the cryptographic key instantly, the server essentially commits digital suicide to ensure the data is mathematically unrecoverable.
That is intense. Digital suicide. And for the $500,000 sovereign fortress package, they add something called a ledger bridge.
Oh, the ledger bridge is fascinating.
It really is. It creates a cryptographically verifiable proof that a physical asset like, say, a gold bar or a famous painting is safe and completely untouched. And it sends that proof directly to insurers, like Lloyd's of London.
Right. And because human error and cloud hacking vulnerabilities are just mathematically eliminated from the equation, insurance actuaries can completely trust the system's immutable audit logs.
So save them money.
Massively. This allows these high security facilities to drastically reduce their multi-million dollar insurance premiums. And you mentioned those multispectral cameras earlier.
Mm.
They don't just look at the surface of a painting. They routinely inspect the pigment density and the underlying canvas weaves to instantly spot if a clever forgery has been swapped in while no one was looking.
Unbelievable. So we've protected stationary data and we've locked down physical buildings. But what about things that move violently and weigh tons?
Right, the heavy stuff.
Let's talk heavy machinery, manufacturing, and agriculture. DeReticular outlines this $249,000 Sovereign Forge package,
mm-hmm,
and the $85,000 Sovereign Harvest.
Yeah, these deal with environments where raw physical power meets digital control. So in the Forge manufacturing package, they deploy 250 micronodes right onto the factory floor.
Just scatter them around.
Basically. And these nodes translate old legacy machinery languages like Siemens or Modbus PLCs.
And PLCs are what exactly?
They're essentially the primitive electronic brains that have run factory assembly lines for decades. Very old school. The nodes translate those primitive signals into a modern AI network.
And here's where it gets really interesting. They use all that real-time machine data to build a live 3D digital twin of the factory.
The digital twin is so cool.
It's exactly like having a God mode video game mini-map of your physical building. If a plant manager tweaks a virtual slider on, say, assembly line 2 in the computer simulation, The AI predicts exactly how that will impact the real-life agricultural intake silos outside, and then it actually makes the physical adjustment.
And again, the edge computing is the start here. If a heavy CNC machine that's cutting metal starts vibrating abnormally because, say, a drill bit is about to snap, the local node detects the acoustic anomaly and shuts the machine down in just 12 milliseconds.
12 milliseconds saves a $1 million machine from ripping itself apart. Which just brings us right back to the forklift analogy at the beginning. You simply cannot prevent that destruction if you have to wait for a signal to bounce to a cloud server and back.
Precisely. Which is why island mode is so necessary. And in the Sovereign Harvest package, they apply this exact same philosophy to commercial agriculture. They blanket thousands of acres of farmland in a localized LoRaWAN and Wi-Fi mesh network.
LoRaWAN, okay.
Yeah, LoRaWAN is a low-power, long-range radio network. Think of it as a dedicated frequency that lets machines send tiny text messages to each other across miles of fields without needing a single cell phone tower.
That's amazing. The SOT details how 10 of these Nomad Fleet kits plug straight into the diagnostic ports of massive combine harvesters. They plug right into the CAN bus, which is basically the tractor's central nervous system.
Right.
And they coordinate GPS-guided autonomous harvesting.
Picture this, learner. When a combine is full of grain out in the middle of a 1,000-acre field, it autonomously pings a grain cart to pull alongside it and offload while both vehicles are still moving.
Wow.
Zero human intervention. And crucially, zero cellular service required.
So if I'm understanding this right, because they're using that LoRaWAN radio network, the harvester and the cart are essentially whispering their coordinates directly to each other over radio waves, rather than asking a satellite or a cell tower to mediate the conversation.
Exactly. They just talk to each other. And the context here is vital because modern tractors often contain software locks that refuse to let the engine run if they lose their cellular connection to the manufacturer's cloud.
Oh, right. The whole DRM issue.
Yes. So this whole agro-industrial package is fundamentally about the right to repair movement. Farmers and factory owners are utilizing this technology to take back ownership of their yield data and their machinery codes from massive monopolies. They are keeping their physical assets completely sovereign.
It's incredibly empowering. I mean, they even include a dedicated veterinary node. A rancher can be out in a noisy barn, their hands literally covered in mud, and they just dictate into a headset. Tag 4ODEM92, exhibiting lethargy, administered 10cc antibiotic.
And it just handles it.
Yeah, the compressed AI transcribes it right through the background noise and updates the farm's air-gapped medical database instantly.
And every single piece of that data, from the moisture levels in the soil to the health of the livestock, it remains the exclusive private property of the farmer. It never enters a corporate server to be analyzed or, you know, sold to advertisers.
So if a farmer can run an off-grid empire, what happens when 10,000 people try to do it together?
This is where it gets huge.
Right. The final section of these documents scales this technology up to whole populations. They detail packages to build an autonomous sovereign city. There's the Village Genesis for $49,000, the City Nexus for $130,000, all the way up to the Urban Hub package at nearly $390,000.
And the Urban Hub package is engineered for dense populations. It deploys 100 of those ruggedized Nomad mesh point routers, creating what DeRaticular calls an unkillable intranet canopy over the city streets.
Think of this mesh network like a bucket brigade at a fire. Instead of every citizen having to ask the mayor for a bucket of water, which is basically how the centralized cloud works, every house just passes the data to its next door neighbor.
Right.
Point to point. Yeah, and if one house loses power and falls out of line, the water just seamlessly routes around it to the next person.
Exactly. And to manage all that localized traffic, they use tri-redundant Sentry Pro clusters spread across 3 different city zones.
Okay, so backups on backups.
Basically. So if City Hall takes a direct lightning strike and loses power, Police HQ or the Regional Utility Center instantly automatically takes over the network routing. There is zero downtime for the city's nervous system.
And it allows the city to host its own decentralized economy, which is huge. They deploy AI kiosks in the public squares that act as 247 concierges. If a tourist walks up to a kiosk to book a local hotel room or a restaurant, the AI handles the booking natively on the city's Bucket Brigade mesh network.
No external servers.
Right. It entirely strips out the middleman fees that big travel companies like Expedia or Airbnb usually extract. The wealth literally stays inside the local town.
It creates a closed-loop economic engine. but it's also a highly advanced logistical engine.
Right, so if I order a ride from one of these offline kiosks, it obviously isn't using a massive rideshare server in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
It must be talking directly to the car somehow.
Yeah.
But how does it know which car is closest or has enough battery if there is no central GPS server tracking everything from above?
Well, the Deep Admin AI analyzes the real-time data flowing through that bucket brigade we talked about. The kiosk securely pings the city's fleet of 15 autonomous electric transit shuttles over the mesh.
Okay.
The AI calculates the traffic density at various intersections based on the local cameras, checks the battery loads of every single shuttle, and dispatches the most efficient vehicle to pick you up.
Wow.
All of this happens completely off-grid. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it means this city continues to function flawlessly, even if the global internet backbone is physically severed.
And it's not just data and transit either, it's the actual electricity powering the buildings. There is a $999 resilient microgrid utility bundle. These nodes autonomously negotiate power across the town.
The microgrid tech is brilliant.
It really is. So if a residential home's solar panels fill up their battery by, say, 1.00 p.m., instead of just wasting that excess sunlight, the node senses it and dumps that extra power into the town clinic's water boiler.
It's using the water boiler as a thermal battery, storing the energy as heat. It replaces a fragile, centralized power dependency with an anti-fragile, community-driven energy network.
That's so efficient.
Very. The software translates different hardware languages, like a Victron inverter talking to an SMA solar array, so the whole town operates as a single breathing organism.
So what does this all mean? We've gone from a local mechanic scanning invoices in a basement to an entire urban hub negotiating its own power and dispatching autonomous buses. To me, distilling these deriticular documents, it reveals a massive tectonic paradigm shift.
A total shift.
We are moving away from the era where everything lives in the cloud to a new reality where everything lives at the absolute edge.
It is fundamentally a reclamation of control. I mean, it empowers everyone, from the Main Street CPA protecting client privacy, to the farmer fixing their own tractor, to the mayor of a growing city defending against ransomware. They are reclaiming their data and their operational independence from centralized tech monopolies.
It really makes you look at your own environment differently. To you, our listener, how might you apply this island mode thinking to your own life or business? Where are you maybe overly reliant on a fragile cloud connection to do your day-to-day work?
It's a critical question to ask yourself as the tools to sever that dependency become this powerful and honestly this accessible.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative thought to mull over. We talked at the very beginning about how the cloud is a tether. Well, if a town of 10,000 people can independently generate and route its own power, run its own encrypted communications, dispatch its own autonomous transit, and defend its own data, completely walled off from the global internet. Completely walled off from the rest of the world.
Right.
At what point does a smart city functionally become an independent nation state?
Well, when you cut the tether completely, you aren't just off the grid. You become your own grid.
Something to think about next time you see your router blink offline. That's all for today's deep dive. We'll catch you next time.